Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Anna Decluttering, and I'm Kirsty Fruger.
And I'm Amy Ravel.
And I do want to know who you are, how you are, and who you are. So come on over to our Facebook page and Facebook community group so we can get to know you better.
We're doing an episode this week on fireplaces and firewood. Kirsty was like questioning when I put this topic on the agenda. She was like, what? But like, and I was like, yeah, you're in Sydney. You probably don't have open fires very often, but those of us in Melbourne and Tasmania and the high country and
the Northern Hemisphere.
All of our European listeners and our Canadian listeners and our American listeners. So we're gonna, and I had two people request this topic in person.
I know, and one of them was my friend Joe Starbosch.
So we're gonna talk about it because I have an open fire. Well, I have a Canara. And I grew up with an open fire, and I live in an area where lots and lots of people have open fires and fireplaces and canaras and fire pits out the back. So we're going to talk about all of the things, mostly wood, and how do you organize it? We know how to declutter it.
Yeah, so this episode isn't so much on decluttering firewood, although you may have to. It's more about organizing. Then that's because Joe has been a long-time listener and has decluttered lots of places. So she's now on to the organising, I suspect.
Yeah, well, what I really liked is we're really going to talk about the journey of firewood.
Well, Amy is, because this episode, as Amy said, I don't have a fireplace.
Did you have a fireplace growing up
at
all? Right.
No, I never lit my parents. No. Have they ever had one? I feel like one of their houses may have. But I never lived in it.
So this is,
and I used to go over to my girlfriend's house who had one, but we never, but they didn't really light it that much.
Yeah. So I grew up, we just, my parents light the fire, I would say at least once a week over winter, maybe more.
Yeah. So that's what, like, I'm just like, all right, if you don't hear much from me this week, that's why. I don't, and I live in Sydney, so a lot of my clients don't have firewood.
Yeah, whereas it's something that I've organised for people with people and talked about.
Yeah, so I need to move up to the Blue Mountains and
correct.
I would be fine
because
there's loads of them up there.
So the journey of firewood. Come with me on a journey through the bush. Smell the eucalypt. Feel the crunching of the leaves under your feet.
Or the pine if you're in the northern
hemisphere.
And the
weight of the axe in your rugged hands. No. So let's talk. Did you like that little journey?
I know. I felt like we were listening to a romance novel.
An Australian romance novel by Amy Ravel.
Please, no. Stick to your organising, my friend.
So if you think about how firewood comes to your house, we want to think about it from a tree to chopped logs. So because a lot of people in rural Australia, you chop down the tree yourself. You're not just going to Bunnings and picking up a bag of firewood. So the tree, we don't need to tell you how to organise because the planet does that really well on its own.
And not so well. I'm actually wearing,
You can talk about this.
Okay,
can interrupt right can now I interrupt before right my now? Journey of firewood.
I'm actually got my hair in a half braid. So, and it's not just a half braid, like half my hair up, but it's actually parted halfway down. In the middle of my head is a part, and I've got a braid on one side and my hair out on the other. So I look a bit interesting.
Alternative.
Yeah. I look interesting, and I did it to raise awareness for an organisation called the Rainforest Trust, and they are raising money to buy back the rainforest in the Amazon and give it over to Indigenous people to care for. So it's an amazing organisation, and what they're doing actually with the organisation is called halfcut.org. And you donate money via there, and then they, Rainforest Trust, double the donation and buy back rainforest. And at the moment, like topically right now as we're recording, you know, the Amazon is fired away. Like it's got massive fires burning. So this is my small way of making a difference. And so I will put links to the show notes. And it's actually awesome. This Australian guy, you have to check him out on Instagram. He's actually got a full hipster beard, and he's shaved it off down the middle of his face. So
he was on all the on the projects and the Today shows and the morning shows this week.
Yeah. So shaved half. So he's got hips. So if you look at him on a side profile, he looks like a hipster, and you turn the other way and he looks like a clean-shaven bloke, and he looks ultra weird, but he is doing his part to raise awareness for the Rainforest Trust. So, yay. Right, back on to cutting down those dead trees.
We're not cutting down rainforests to warm ourselves. But once you've got a tree and you've cut it and you've got logs, you need to think about where you're going to store logs. And then we're going to talk about from chopped logs to split wood and where you actually store the split logs. We're going to talk about split logs that are green into split logs that are dried and ready to use. We're going to talk about bigger kindling pieces. We're going to talk about branches and leaves and like the fire starter kind of material. Mm-hmm. And we're even going to talk about paper. Because all of those steps have a different storage solution and actually need a different storage solution.
Yes. And so, I believe you. I am here to learn from your wisdom, Amy.
So we want to talk about where you're going to keep those things, what the storage could look like, how you can do it safely, because we also need to think about fire hazards. We need to think about snakes. We need to think about spiders. We need to think about termites. We need to think about transport. So what is actually viable for you to when you're about to start a fire and you've got to go get some dried logs? How do you do that safely? There's so many things to talk about. I'll try not to make it too long an episode for those of you that don't have an... In fact, if you didn't have an open fire, you're probably just skipping over this episode, let's be honest. So...
No, they all listen for everything that we... All the goodness that you have to say. Everybody tunes in each and every week to hear your gold, my friend.
So once you've got a log, like if you think about burning a whole big log, say you're talking about a 60, 70 centimetre diameter log, that is a very hard way of burning, just to put the whole thing on a fire. You're going to
It's a slow burn.
The fire. Yeah. It's not going to be the greatest way for you to get combustible heat. Yes. So usually what people do is they'll split a log. And you can picture like the old axemen who are just like chopping the log and da-da-da-da-da. And so that is a great way to store your logs because you're actually able to dry out the inside of the wood rather than just the outside and the bits that are exposed to air. You're drying out all the bits in between. So
If it's split.
So usually what people do is they will split their wood before they store it. And the reason for storing split wood before you burn it is because the older that the wood is. Now, if there's someone out there that knows way more about this than me and I get some of it wrong, please, please, please just come and tell us. But the wood that's been drying longer burns better because it's got less moisture and all of those kind of things. And so you want to have somewhere that you can store freshly chopped green wood. And you want that to be out of the rain. So that it actually dries out.
Yeah.
So what you can do is store it away from the house, maybe even up on a piece of corrugated iron. So you're actually stopping the moisture from the ground coming up. And that also can stop termites getting straight into your firewood because that's just feeding the termites and no good for you.
Defeating the purpose of splitting wood in the first place to put on a fire because there'll be no wood left.
Correct. So if you're in a big property, often what people have is a little fire shed or a little fire stack that's further away from the property. So you, if snakes and whatever, they can just go for their life down there. But it's further away and it's just drying out. Mm-hmm. What you also want to do is think about the wood that you're ready to burn. So do you want to keep it down the side of the house? And if you are going to do that, think about termites if you're in a wooden house like I am. And when we first moved into our house, all the firewood, because they left us some firewood, was stacked up against one of the walls that we later determined had termites in it. And we had to pay thousands to have the termites eradicated. And one of the things that the termite people said to us was, do not ever store firewood up against your house. And if at all possible, don't store it on the ground. You actually need some kind of a buffer, and corrugated iron is just like a great Aussie way of storing that up, but anything will do. Then you want to think about, what about the wood that you're about to burn? Do you actually want to bring it in and have some wood inside?
Yeah,
and
so you're not.
I love the look of that. So you're not always going outside in the middle of the rain because really you're burning wood when it's cold and wet. So can you have some inside and have that stacked nicely? You also want to think, what kind of kindling can you use? So we have, ours doesn't look very pretty, so I'm really interested in some suggestions from the listeners. But we have a box, like a plastic tub that sits in our lounge room right next to our Canara. And that's where the kids have gone and got like dried out leaves or a branch has fallen down and they've brought that in and we've broken it up so that when you're really starting the fire, you're starting it with eucalyptus leaves and little branches and twigs and that kind of thing.
Kindling. I don't know.
The word.
I know how to build a fire.
Yeah. I've gone camping. Fire. My kids, actually, that's one of the things we let them do. Like even from about 7 or 8, we taught them how to stack a fire and we taught them how to light a fire. So where to start, like you don't start the very front and then wonder why you can't get your hand in to light anything at the back. And then we've taught them how to clean out a fire and how you don't do it straight away because one of my children did it too early once and put a plastic bag in the bucket, like all the things that we've taught him, but it was all still hot and then it melted right through everything and then we ended up with ash and melted plastic on the ground. That's okay. He learned. He never did that again. Grace.
Yeah. Poor kiddo.
So inside the house, sometimes you'll have like a brick enclave into the wall where the fireplace is and you can actually stack the wood up in there. Sometimes there's just not that and you've got to get creative. So you can buy even online some, what's that metal stuff called? Steel. You can buy like just a steel, almost like a magazine rack.
Yeah.
That you just put your wood on.
Yeah.
Interestingly, I found out recently because we've got a Canara that's lifted up and there's a big hearth underneath, is we would sometimes put wood underneath the cavity of the Canara just while we were waiting to use it. And I found out that you totally shouldn't do that because it's so highly combustible that it can actually get so hot right next to it that it can combust.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, we don't really want that. No. So we've stopped doing that. Although over summer, sometimes we put stuff there just for decorative.
Yeah, but that's different because you're not lighting the fire and so there's no chance of it catching on fire to burn the decorative items.
Correct.
Hey, we just wanted to take a few seconds to say thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate this podcast community, and on that note, we wanted to get to know you better.
Podcasting is a unique platform where you get to know a whole lot about us. We don't really have an easy way of getting to know all of you. So we wanted to know what resonates with you in our podcast. What do you like? What don't you like?
So we're offering you a $100 gift voucher for any of our products and services in order to get that feedback. We're running a listener survey right now, and we just wanted you to tell us a little bit more about you.
It seriously takes just a couple of minutes. And as we said, you go into the draw to win a $100 gift certificate. Get on it!
So head on over to artofdecluttering.com.au/survey or click on the link in the show notes.
We can't wait to get to know you. We want to create content that serves you and meets you where you're at. So give us a few minutes of your life, hop on over and take the survey. Again, visit artofdecluttering.com.au/survey or visit the link in the show notes.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Thanks, and let's get back to the show. So one of the things you want to think about when you're storing your firewood is how are you going to get it from one place to the other? My favorite solution is the IKEA blue bags.
Mm.
They are so sturdy, and whereas I can carry maybe 2 logs at a time when I'm going from our stack outside to bring them inside, I can carry like 8 if I put them in the IKEA blue bags.
I was thinking about those flexi tubs.
Flexi tubs are awesome too. We do flexi tubs for the kindling.
Yeah.
So if you are looking for a way to get it from one to the other and you don't want to have to use a wheelbarrow, $2 IKEA blue bag for the win.
Mm. Great suggestion.
What else? What else can we tell people? Oh, so what about when you want to actually have your recyclables that you want to use to start the fire? So sometimes just having a really little box next to where you keep your kindling is good. So if you've got kids' artwork, in our house we burn artwork. That might be totally sacrilege in your house. But my kids are resilient.
You've built their resilience.
I've built their resilience.
Look, this is me training you in resilience by burning your artwork, your favorite piece of artwork.
Sorry, kids.
Not actually what happens. That wasn't the purpose. No. I mean, you definitely burned their artwork, yeah. But it wasn't for the purpose of building their resilience.
No, it was purely because it was functional. And I want to give you a hack too, is a great fire lighter and also, you know, a little use things twice, is get the lint out of your dryer And you know how you can scrape out all the lint.
Yeah.
Instead of putting it in the bin, put it inside a toilet roll and then just like squeeze the ends of the toilet roll so it doesn't come out.
Like a bonbon.
That is an incredible fire lighter. It just goes up. So we do that now. As soon as you empty that out.
That's why you're meant to clean it out from your clothes dryer.
Correct.
Because it is so combustible.
That's a fair point. That's what we do. So after everyone, we make our little selves a little lint firebomb.
Firebomb, yeah. So on that note, I was actually thinking that you do want to be intentional and purposeful about how often you do have a fire and not collecting every single piece of recyclable rubbish just in case you might have that fire
one day.
So be reasonable about the amount of kindling you collect, about the amount of recycling that you put aside. So, you know, it's great, you know, particularly in Australia at the moment when councils haven't set up recycling stations and China and overseas countries are not accepting our rubbish that we should be dealing with. I will get off my high horse again. But seriously, government, if you're listening, local councils, why don't we have recycling plants? This is ridiculous. Anyway, you do want to be thoughtful about how much you're actually putting in the recycling bin to how much you're keeping because, you know, if you do only have, you know, if your fireplace is mostly decorative, then you probably don't need a lot. And then if you do use your fireplace, you know, in winter, you know, you don't need to be storing all of your recycling from summer just for the winter.
Absolutely. You've,
there's always more coming into your house.
And it's actually not a great source of heat is just burning recycling. It's a great way to start a fire.
Yeah, it's good for kindling.
But you're not going to get a really beautiful, you know, that heat that comes from fire that's just
deep.
Oh, it's a deep heat that you cannot get from a heater. Yeah. Oh, I love it. I really want to go home tonight and light our fire.
I really want to come to your house and light a fire because I'm freezing today.
Well, it's a shame we can't do that at lunchtime. It's just go and have a quick little fire.
We wouldn't, even if we did, we wouldn't get that deep heat that comes from a slow burn fire.
So good. So I think we want you to be intentional. So don't go and buy a ton of firewood if you actually don't need it or you don't have anywhere to store it. Like really think about it and think about what can I use that perhaps is already available. So we had a massive branch of one of our gums come down, a huge, huge branch, and the council were just going to take it away because it fell onto the road. And instead, we just got someone to come with a chainsaw and just chop it up for us. Now, it's not suitable for use that winter because it's still too green, but it's.
But you have the storage facility to have stored that.
Yep.
And did you share it with your neighbours or is anybody else in your street?
No.
Or is it just enough for you? Yeah. Yeah, but you have the storage for
it. Absolutely.
It's about.
And we've used it.
Yeah, and like anything that we talk about, when you're organizing it, there's no point organizing something that you're not going to use.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no point organizing it, you know, having so much that you need to actually then go and build a bigger woodshed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you live in the suburbs of a capital city and you're only using the fire for, you know, once a week for 3 months of the year, like you don't necessarily need to go and spend a small fortune buying a wood shed when you can potentially find other sources of wood on a short-term basis.
Sometimes having firewood can be aspirational clutter.
Oh, yes,
and
exactly.
I think we can talk about aspirational clutter in another episode.
Yes.
But it is. It's like I really want to have a fire and if I buy the wood, then I will. But
I'll make it happen.
But sometimes you don't. Just be honest with yourself.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. People, Simon and I love fires and we're not pyromaniacs, but we do love fires.
You love fires?
Uh-huh. Okay. We like fires a lot. And one thing though that we think about is when we go and stay at a place is actually the cleanup process, particularly with a fire hearth, not necessarily a Kanara that you can just close up and we sweep out quickly and then and then put in the bin, but like it makes a mess, even with a grate potentially. And it's that, like, so are you the type of person that has a fire and then regrets having the fire afterwards?
Yeah, the cleanup is significant. Not significant, but it's got to be intentional.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh, I really, really enjoyed it at the time, but now it's too hard. Or you don't do the fire because you're thinking that instead of thinking about the enjoyment that you get during it. So, you know, are you an aspirational fireplace person who you think, oh, well, I'll collect all this firewood because one day we will use it. Mm. And it's been 5 years and you still haven't used it.
Can you see how we totally could do a whole episode on firewood and fireplaces?
Okay. Let's see if anyone listens to it.
So, should we go on to a review? Have you got anything else you want to add?
No.
Excellent. So this review is from Jabes1122 on iTunes Australia. It's a 5-star review titled Love the Real Chat of You Girls. So I'm going to read it out to you, and we want to encourage you to leave a Facebook or iTunes or Apple Podcasts or Spotify review, wherever you listen to our podcast. So Jabes1122 says, heard your podcast on a plane recently and decided to look you up. I've binge listened as I've moved into a new house and I want to find a lasting routine to keep it in order. You've inspired me this week to micro declutter. I did my handbag, purse, utensils, and also a basket of odd clothes we'd bought from the old house which hadn't made it to a wardrobe or to the op shop. Thank you. It's only week one. Yay. Thank you for leaving the review. Thank you for joining us this week. We will see you over in our Facebook community this week. Come and tell us your tips for firewood, what works for you. Horror stories you heard that'll scare us all from keeping our firewood underneath the fireplace.
No, we only want good stories.
Have an amazing week. Light a fire.
Or don't, because it's spring. Oh, it's autumn. It's autumn in the Northern Hemisphere.
They'll be wanting to get cool and light
and
a fire.
And it's probably freezing in Melbourne this week, so you probably will light a fire.
Enjoy.
While I'll be on the beach. Bye.
See you guys.
See ya.
Thanks for joining us.
If you've learnt something awesome today, we'd love you to leave us a review on iTunes or Facebook so others can find our podcast too.
Don't forget, you can see the show notes in your podcast app or over at our website, artofdecluttering.com.au. So if there's anything you want more info on, check it out there.
If you'd like to join our supporter community, you can do so over at patreon.com/theartofdecluttering.
We hope you have a great rest of your day
and enjoy the freedom.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.